This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Geek Squawk. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with Culture Pop's very own Matt Armitage. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rich. Well, this first story is for those of you who've just come back from a bathroom break. Now,
you've got such a pleasant way of introducing this story.
Introducing stories. Yeah. Well, students at the University of Cape Town, they've made the world's first biobrick that's actually made from human urine.
Now, students.
Yeah, students. But this is actually like a quite a well-known technology, but nobody's actually managed or nobody's bothered to try and do it with kind of human urine before. So this is basically a process called microbial carbonate precipitation, and it's to do with the way that enzymes break down your urea into chemicals like urease.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of principle that gives you or stops you from having kidney stones.
Yeah.
So it's about the calcium carbonate that forms in your kidneys. Now, one of the nice thing about these bricks is they would result in zero waste because they're not heated. Now, if you make traditional bricks, they have to be heated in a kiln. Obviously, they're using lots of materials, clay and whatever, to make them, but they're heated in a kiln at 14 degrees centigrade. So you have the fuel that's needed to power those kilns, but you also have the CO2 emissions. These biobricks are actually made in molds at room temperature. There's not a lot of tech that's required. It has been done, as I said, in the past using synthetic variations, but this group of students tried to see if they could do it with natural human urine, and they have done so. Like traditional bricks, you can also
In my mind, I'm just thinking, well, who was the first person to try this experiment?
You know? Well, no, because it's just chemistry and chemical compounds. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, when you look at it from a mathematical point of view,
it makes perfect sense. Yeah.
So you just go, okay, can we make it out of urine? We have a lot of urine.
Yeah.
Therefore, we should possibly try and do it.
Yeah.
And you can actually make the bricks to the correct sort of size and strength specifications like you would a normal brick. Again, they have to be aged for different periods of time to get the same constituency. But you can easily get something that's 40% stronger than a traditional brick.
Oh, it's 40% stronger.
It can be. I mean, you can make them at incredible duration. So this isn't one of those recycled technologies like the early recycled paper, which, you know, if you had recycled toilet paper, it was the same as it was basically like using sandpaper, or you'd try and write on recycled paper and it would just disintegrate with the ink. You know, we've gone past that, and this is the same with this kind of technology. You could actually do this on a kind of commercial basis, and you know, it's quite useful as well because there are two sides to this. When you're refining this product, you can use the certain parts of the compounds can then go towards fertilizers. So
nitrates
and phosphates, and we're actually running out of those in the ground. So this is a way of replenishing those stocks, and then the liquid runoff can then be used to form these biobricks. But I guess kind of the bigger story behind this is obviously there's an issue with this in terms of people are going to say, well, you know, how hygienic is it to use a brick that's made out of urine? There's definitely a certain factor.
Yes.
But when you actually look at traditional ways of making houses or making buildings in parts of the developing world, they're often made with dung and mud.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're not using products that aren't already being used for construction in certain parts of the world. But I guess that question is, how far do we go with recycling? Because in order to do this, you would have to have a way of actually collecting all of that urine to make it kind of physically viable, unless you required the world's population all to go to the brick factory once a day and make a deposit. So, you know, telling people that, you know, I'm a urine donor and I'm saving the world could be a thing of the future.
Well, money's a motivation, right?
Money's a motivation, but, you know, how... when we talk about recycling, how far do we go? Because, you know, we talk about sort of composting toilets. We talk about having your own compost or getting rid of organic matter at home and that kind of thing. But we haven't talked about these kind of commercial applications, right. And especially when it comes to our own waste products. Because, you know, there are systems that can take grey water from your house, you know, the runoff from sinks or washing machines, and recycle that so that for your shower water or whatever. But we haven't thought of going that stage further and actually trapping those kind of waste products and using those.
I mean,
let me
little discussion with you right now. If I was to say to you, Matt, here are some tomatoes for you. They grew in my garden. You know, take these away and enjoy these lovely homegrown tomatoes. But if I told you later that I'd fertilize them myself with my own, you know,
products,
well, would you be second guessing it? You know, would you think twice about the next time I came to you with, I don't know, some radishes or something?
Well, to be honest, I mean, you know, I grew up in a farming area.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And we used pig waste
on
most of the fields. And you could tell from a very far distance the day that the farmer was muck spreading.
Particularly in summer.
Late spring and early summer for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there was a definite hum going on. but my wife, let me do that again. My wife grows a lot of plants and vegetables at home, like herbs and whatever. And I always think twice about eating those because our neighborhood is full of stray cats who fertilize all of the plants. So, you know, there are certain things about this that don't make logical sense. I mean, I'm fine knowing that fields are fertilized with animal dung, but for some reason, I don't like the idea that a tomato might have been sprayed on by the local tomcat.
Because you might get toxoplasmosis.
Well, no, but you can wash it off.
There's that.
You know, and that's the same with any kind of animal waste products that are used for fertilizers as well. So,
but you're right, though. It's our mindset. That's what it is.
It is our mindset. Yeah. So I think, so logically, I would say to you, no, I wouldn't have a problem eating that tomato that you've personally fertilized. Mm. But when it actually sat there on my plate, I might give it a second. Yeah, I might go, no, I ate already.
I've already eaten, yeah. Yeah, it's just a mindset. I mean, when I was a kid, and I remember learning how to wattle and daub. You know?
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah.
So for those of you at home who've never heard of wattle and daub, it's an old European method, or it was a European method at the time, of creating a house, or rather a wall, using sticks and mud. But not just mud, but, you know, anything, dung, whatever that came together.
Well, also because, you know, there were no sewerage systems then. So if you had a patch of mud, that mud, by definition, would be an awful lot of things.
It could well be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right then. Okay, let's take a short break. When we come back, we've got a story. We've got a king of the crowd this week.
We do, yeah. Well, down in the dumps.
Down in the dumps, yes. And then something about Massive Attack a little bit later on.
Absolutely.
Good story. Don't go anywhere. You're listening, of course, to Geek Squawk here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Geek Squawk. I'm in the studio with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Go on then. Take it away, Matt.
I genuinely don't even know where to start with this one. I mean, I've done King of the Crowds.
Yes.
I've done Down in the Dumps. I've done Confused by the Crowd. But I've never actually come across a product that has quite confused and confounded and probably irritated me quite as much as this one. It's called the Sparks Vitamin Air, and it is a vitamin-enriched vape pen. Now, I'm going to let you think about that for a second and let that sink in. So there's no nicotine in this. There's nothing addictive about this. This is literally a vitamin-enriched vapor that is supposed to help boost your
blah, 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 immune system.
Boost your immune system or give you an energy boost. I think there's like a guarana version and whatever. So there's various versions of this. And it's being pushed as wellness-inspired and eco-friendly. Now, Those, yeah, exactly. I mean, those are two things that it cannot possibly be. You know, we've seen even from tobacco companies who are desperate, well, not desperate, who are looking for new ways to kind of push their business as the kind of traditional smoking becomes less popular. They haven't gone down this route of coming up with vitamin-enriched products. Do you know what I mean? There's something that's just very, very odd about this. And also the eco-friendly aspect of it. So with a lot of vape pens, you know, you can recharge them yourself. You can put cartridges in. Now, apparently, these things are good for something like 800 vapes, and then you throw them away.
Yeah.
And this is an entire combustion system with a lithium-ion battery. So this idea that it is
eco-friendly
or wellness is just absolutely astonishing. But having said that, it's doing not fantastically well. It's doing reasonably well. It's raised about $50,000 to date. It's got 15 days left on the campaign. You can buy them in, I think it's something like $40 US for a pack of three. So the early bird pack is like 33. So that works out at $11 for each one of these pens. But like I said,
let me help you out a bit, right? First of all, when you're inhaling vitamins, does it actually work? I don't know how.
Well, I mean, there's no real way to determine prove it, that, right? to prove that, because you can't prove that vitamins that are ingested in any way
in general,
work.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So, you know, there's definitely a psychological effect from consuming these things, which can be as strong, that placebo effect can as strong as actually taking something that can be proved to work. But we don't know if this works. Now, if you're somebody who isn't vaping for the nicotine, and if there are no provable benefits, I don't see what this product has to offer. And also because, you know, it's manufactured to look very much like
a vape.
Well, not even more. You know, it does look like a cigarette. It even has the coloured filter at the end. So I really don't understand this product. I'm not really sure where it sits. I'm not even sure whether it is legal in a lot of countries. Now, obviously, if this is on Indiegogo, I'm sure that they're conforming to all the regulations in the US. But I'm sure in a lot of countries, this kind of product would simply not be allowed because there are a lot of restrictions about gateway products, the way things are marketed. And again, coming from this wellness and eco-friendly approach is very strange for something that is seen as, if not a smoking product, then an associate to smoking product. And that's traditionally been, you know, kind of sacrosanct. You don't go into that area.
Are you going to have to create an entirely new category for this then?
I'm going to create the I hope this disappears category. Right. So, you know, I don't wish companies badly, but I just do not understand this product in any way, shape or form. I don't understand the success it's having. And if you want to go and check it out, you can look for it online. It's on the crowdfunding sites. I'm not going to tell you when it's available. You can figure that one out for yourself. We've told you what the price is. I'm just confused by this. That was Sparks Vitamin Air, which has the tagline, breathe in your vitamins.
What the hell? Okay, let's move on to the next story then. Big fan of this band. Massive Attack.
Well, we had a music theme to Matt's Blaine this week, so I thought we'd go for a similar story this week. Now, we've heard various ways that bands have taken to overcome the kind of effects of digitization and piracy. Massive Attack has taken a very different route. They have actually digitized their Mezzanine album, which is about to be released for its 21st year anniversary. So they've digitized it. They've taken all of the ones and zeros, and they've synthesized it with DNA. And they have then taken that DNA sample and infused it into black paint. So you can now buy the Mezzanine album as a black spray paint, a special edition. Now, it should also be noted that the main guy in Massive Attack 3D, Robert Del Naja.
I am not Banksy.
Yeah, I am not Banksy, is a very well-known artist. So it makes a lot of sense that he would come up with a product like this. And apparently, I think it's something like there are 100 million digital versions of the Mezzanine album in every can of spray paint. Now, the band has said they will be making this paint commercially available, so you will be able to buy this. They haven't put any details out yet as to when you can or can't. And it comes in an absolutely gorgeous looking can and box. I mean, it looks absolutely fantastic. But it's just a really nice way to reissue something. I know it's you know, you can't play it, you can't do anything with it traditionally, but it's just nice that that information, that data has been taken and used in a different way. So you can actually be going out and making art with a copy of this album.
Interesting. I a few years ago, I bought a Massive Attack box set of all of the singles that they released.
Oh, I remember that one.
The heat changing one. Beautiful artwork.
No, they've always had fantastic stuff. Yeah. Even the Blue Lines, the 20th anniversary edition that came out a few years ago, came in this wonderful fold-out cardboard package as well. I mean, just the attention to detail with this stuff. It's really fantastic.
All right. Look, you know what, then? Let's have a Massive Attack track, shall we?
Yeah. I mean, Geek Tune this week is going to have to be Massive Attack with Teardrops from the Mezzanine album. And, of course, the fantastic Elizabeth Fraser from the Cocteau Twins on vocals. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.